again, and welcome to Foreplay Radio Sex Therapy. I'm your host, certified sex therapist Lori Watson, author of Wanting Sex Again, and blogger at Psychology Today and WebMD. And I have with me Dr. Adam Matthews, my co-host, who's a couples therapist, psychotherapist, and president of NCAMFT. Foreplay is dedicated to helping couples keep it hot. Each episode, we cover an aspect of sex that impacts your sex life and something that you can relate to. So if you find our discussions helpful, please give us a review on iTunes or Stitcher. We would love it if you would tell a friend about us. You can find us also on the web at foreplayrst.com. And if you have a comment or a topic that you'd like us to talk about, we'd love to hear from you. Please send them to us at info@foreplayrst.com. Thanks for listening. Now on to today's topic. So this episode is the beginning of our holiday season.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It's in full.
Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah. This is the best season of all, I think.
Yeah. It's in full swing everywhere. It's in full swing at our house. We have a Christmas party every single weekend from now until the holidays.
Oh, my gosh. That's great. Yeah, yeah. That's great.
It's not great for my waistline, Lord. The calories, there's all kinds of good Christmas foods.
I know.
And so, like, all the parties are going to be just food fest.
Yeah.
That's
for
sure.
So you were telling me you have a present in the mail that's already come to your house.
I have a present that is sitting there, and I know exactly what it is.
Oh, that's
from,
hard.
From my mother. She had to ask me a question about it to get the right thing. So it's a technology thing, which I'm a sucker for. So I don't know.
Of course.
I don't know how long I'm going to be able to wait before.
You're a man,
right?
That's stereotypical. All men love gadgets.
Gadgets. I do. I love my gadgets, and they are. There's a new one that is sitting there, so I'm sweating bullets till she gets here. Oh, I mean, I don't have to peek. I know what it is. It's about playing with it. I want to play with it.
And it is.
It's my toys. It's an Apple Watch.
Oh my gosh, that's great.
I'm super excited. Are y'all your family in the Christmas spirit? Y'all getting into it?
We are. We have the Christmas tree up. This is the weekend to decorate it. And
fun.
We have a few parties ahead too. It's actually my birthday around Christmas time.
Yeah.
And I have four friends who have birthdays this time of year, and we all get together and celebrate and have a big party as well. So that's another thing to do.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I've always
felt really special, you know, like the whole world is celebrating with me. So
that's fantastic. Well, that's my wife's too. My wife's birthday is on Christmas Day,
actually.
And then
what a beautiful
my son's birthday is on the 12th, and my daughter's birthday is on the 30th.
Oh, my gosh.
So we have, and my anniversary is on the 1st. So if you're looking for
happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. But if you're looking for anything more than a hello from me, I'll be completely broke. So no gifts for anyone else.
Oh, that's great.
So,
well, we thought too this episode we would talk about the gift of family, which is really attachment.
Yeah.
And I definitely work from attachment theory, which is a scientifically researched theory, and we wanted to explain it to people. And then eventually, maybe next episode, we're going to talk about it. We haven't forgotten about sex, because sex is kind of the icing on the cake that seals attachment. But we wanted to explain to you what attachment is, how you get it from your families, and how you can give it to each other as a couple, and why it's so healing and why it's so important.
Yeah, and it really is. It has a lot to do with sex, because there's all kinds of research out there about the effect of insecure attachments on our sexual relationships.
Right.
And so it becomes really important that we have secure attachments. But the thing that I think a lot of people don't know about the attachment is that it can change. Like, it's not fixed. It doesn't, because if you had poor attachment in childhood, it doesn't mean that it can't
right.
be different. If you got a bad gift of attachment in childhood, doesn't mean that it can't change, which is is one of the beauties of relationships, of adult relationships, is that we can.
And coupleship is really, the marriage or the committed coupleship is a primary place to heal. I mean, the marriage is this central place that we can learn secure attachment, you know, if we have a partner who also is secure or wants to be secure, and there's behaviors that we can do to help each other become more secure.
Yeah, and so maybe we should start by explaining, for those that don't know, when we say attachment styles, what's your definition, Lori? How would you explain it in a way that's understandable for people?
So I talk a lot about the insecure attachment styles, the pursuer and the distancer, the two different types of it. But maybe we should start with, what does a secure
attachment look like? Yeah. I talk about it in terms of, it is, as children, that it's our safe place, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we grow, we start to take risk and venture out from from home, and we risk things, we try new things, and when we fail, if we have a secure attachment, that's the place that we come back to. It's almost it's almost like a bungee cord attached to a kid, right? Where they run out and try new things, and then it snaps back and it pulls them back. And so in relationships and developing relationships, secure attachment means that I have a relationship at home that I can trust, that is safe, that is secure, that I know is not gonna is gonna be there for me when I fail, right? And so I have a lot more confidence to go and incrementally try new things, especially in relationships, to say hello to people even, to begin to talk to strangers, to initiate.
To trust people.
To trust people, yeah.
To get close to people.
Yeah.
If we're secure at home, then we can become independent safely. Mm-hmm. And I was going to say we can go out and try new things, new ideas, new endeavors. And if we do fail, it's not devastating to our self-esteem.
Right.
Because the deep sense of I'm a good person because I'm loved is inside of us.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And that speaks to so many levels. And I think people underestimate it, right? If they didn't have a secure attachment when they're young, they don't understand the effects that that has on their current adult relationships. And the effects are just numerous,
They're enormous.
Yeah.
In terms of our ability to succeed professionally, or in our work endeavors, as well as to succeed in our relationships and our marriages, and with our children, with our own children.
Yeah, because we pass that on, right? If we don't do the work to heal from insecure attachments as a child, we're going to pass them on to our children.
Absolutely,
it's just a cycle that just keeps going on and on.
Right. There's this proverb that says the sins of the fathers are passed on for four generations, and an insecure attachment, unfortunately, gets passed on to the children and the grandchildren and the great-grandchildren. But the cool thing about it is if one generation takes a stand, the proverb also says that for 1,000 generations forward, there's a new way. It's like if you will change in your couple, as a couple, if you will change in your relationship, you will basically bless 1,000 generations forward in your family line with the ability to deeply connect, to feel self-confident and secure in their work. I mean, this is an amazing, you know, work that we can do in one generation with our partner.
Yeah, and what you're talking about is a legacy, right?
It is.
It's something that carries on and that affects not just you, but affects generations. And I think that's a beautiful thing, because I think sometimes we think, well, why should I do the work to kind of address these attachment issues? Why should I do that? When what we're talking about is that it is going to have a ripple effect, not just for your relationship, but for your children's relationships to come. And it's going to be a model for other people. We have to have models, right? And if we don't have a secure attachment modeled for us, then it's going to be difficult for us to break that. And I know that when we talk about secure attachments, a lot of people don't have those just for issues that are way out of their control and out of their parents' control. When you talk about loss just a lot of different reasons why parents weren't around and weren't able to offer those secure attachments.
Exactly.
And so you can have those with other people. Right.
Exactly.
If there's another adult in your life, ideally you have it with your parents. But if there's another adult that you had a secure attachment with that was a safe place, that was around consistently.
Right. Often like a grandparent.
Yeah,
sometimes
grandparents
are stand-ins for the parents who, you know, are more messed up. They say one good grandmother is worth 7 years of therapy. And you know, we're therapists. We know that therapy is a place that we teach people about secure attachment, right? We listen to them, care about them, don't judge them about their failures, but help them see kind of how they're getting in their own way and help them offer them another path, what they might be doing that would work better.
Yeah, and ideally that comes from an early family member. Right?
Ideally,
all right. Yeah. I think if we had our druthers,
there's two of us out there.
Yeah, that's right.
Not me.
That's right. That there's other people that do that. Uncles, I think sometimes pastors, rabbis, teachers,
absolutely.
Coaches,
teachers.
Well, can serve
God
that role.
Love the teachers out there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I know that. So my parents divorced, and obviously that's a big, rift in terms of your security as a child. But I remember I had a fifth grade teacher, her name was Miss Alford, and she met me at the door every single morning with a hug, with, sort of how are you doing, just kind of helping me start my day off right. And it was like, to this day, 50 years later or 40 years later, I guess, you know, I still think about that teacher and her gift to me of attachment, of being able to be a secure base. And we can do that for people, right?
Yeah. I love that idea of secure base. That's such an easy concept for us to understand. Like even children on the playground playing tag have a safe base.
They have a safe base.
Right? And they run back to it and that's where they're safe. Yeah. And so they go out. I love that. I mean, I think that's what we want to be for each other. And I think that's something that when families come together, the holidays, I hear so many people talk about the stress of the holidays.
Yes, yes.
Right?
You know, my family's coming for 7 days, which means I got to like have 7 more years of therapy. Right?
That's right. It just doubles down on your therapy.
Yeah, that's right.
But I think if one thing people can take from this is like, that's a great way to offer safety. It's a great time to offer safety to your family members. And I think, you know, maybe talking about some ways that people can be a safe base for their family, because some people just don't know.
Right.
I know I didn't. I know I had to be taught what safety was.
Yes.
You know, and I think that's something, again, that we have to learn.
Well, let's come back after the break and really describe a secure attachment. And maybe we'll offer you some action steps for this holiday of what you can give to your partner that creates more security. And, you know, security, why it's important is that from that basis, we can be more adventurous.
Yes.
We can go out there and not worry so much about failing.
It reduces anxiety.
Think about that in bed. You want an adventurous partner? Have you given your partner deep security? So we'll be right back.
Wanting sex again. How to rediscover desire and heal a sexless marriage by certified sex therapist Lori Watson.
Each chapter is designed to fix one of the problems that cause low libido, from early marriage through the childbearing years, even all the way through menopause. I've also had men read it and tell me that for them it was the most hopeful thing they read about resolving sexual problems.
Look for Wanting Sex Again on Amazon.com. You can also talk to Lori Watson for therapy in person or via Skype.
I offer couples counseling and sex therapy, and I think about both aspects of the relationship, emotional intimacy and sexual technique, and that combination together helps marriages be happy.
Improve your sex and improve your relationship with Awakening Center for Couples and Intimacy. Find out more at awakenloveandsex.com and sign up for their next couples retreat weekend hosted by Lori Watson. awakenloveandsex.com. Awaken what's possible.
It is one of my great joys in life to be able to really help individuals and couples find strength in their relationships and really find hope again.
Licensed marriage and family therapist, Dr. Adam Matthews from Matthews Counseling.
I work with a wide variety of issues, including depression and anxiety, marital issues, issues with adolescence. I believe that therapy should be designed around you, that it should be personalized to who you are and to your unique situation.
Therapy is available in office, online, and by phone.
I want therapy to be comfortable for everyone. At our office, you'll find that we sit around a fireplace in deep, comfortable chairs, look at the problem differently, and offer practical solutions for you to take home and utilize outside of the therapy room.
Schedule today and rediscover hope.
You can find me on the web at matthewscounseling.net, Matthews with one T. You can contact us through email or phone and find a lot of resources on our website, matthewscounseling.net.
So we're back with 4Play Radio Sex Therapy, Lori Watson, sex therapist, and Dr. Adam Matthews, couples therapist. And we're talking today about attachment, trying to describe to you what secure attachment is and why it's important, and especially just celebrating the gift of attachment at this holiday season.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the things when you think about secure attachment and what that means, how securely attached people play out in relationships, I love the concept that they are both balanced in their independence and their ability to be intimate in their relationship.
Yes.
It's really both and. It's not one or the other. I think
security and attachment is not just being smothered in love.
Yeah, that's right.
Right? It's actually this beautiful balance.
Yeah.
of, yes, feeling love, but also feeling space and like that your partner celebrates your separateness, your separate work, your own purpose.
Yes. I feel like couples come in always trying to strive for that balance,
yes.
you know, between allowing their partner to go and allowing and wanting their partner with them, right?
Mm-hmm.
That balance between interdependence and independence,
right?
And I think that striking that, but when you're when you've had securely attached relationships early in life, you're much more likely to be able to have them naturally when you're an adult.
Right. Give us an example of what that would look like. Maybe.
Well, I think securely attached people would say things like, it's easy to become emotionally connected with others.
Right.
It's easy for me to trust.
Mm-hmm.
But they would also say, but they're not emotionally reactive to what's going on with other people either. So if you're upset with me, it doesn't necessarily send me into a depressive tailspin.
Uh-huh. Right? Or make me withdraw.
Or make me try to cling to you more.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm independent from you, but I'm concerned about you as well.
But I'm not freaked out by your freak out.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Your drama is not my drama.
Right. But we care. I mean,
yeah,
if it's our
absolutely.
Partner, we love them. Like one of the things that drives me crazy is the partner who says, you know, I don't care if I have sex again, right? But they're married or they're in a relationship and their partner is desperately unhappy about that. And it's like, how do you maintain a position in life that you're okay with this, even though you know it makes your partner desperately unhappy? That's that's too far, right? That's that's not interdependence. That's, I don't even know if that's independence or so much as that's withdrawal.
Yeah, I think another example that I can think of just in my own life is when me and my wife talk about checking in with each other about what we're going to do and where we're going to go and stuff like that. We talk about it in terms, some people look at that and goes, well, you need permission from your wife to go do something. I say, I absolutely do not need permission from my wife to go do something, but I care enough about her to let her know that this is what is happening.
Yes, I love
know?
That.
And I think that's, I think to me, that's one of the areas that we try to practice that is just saying, go, do, be you, right? Know that I'm here, but we care enough about each other to say, hey, I'm about to go, you know, do this thing. Any issues for you? Any problem? Anything that's
conflicting with? What's going on with you?
Yeah. Is it conflicting with something you want to do? Yeah, absolutely.
Right, right.
And I think so, to me, that's a way that it comes out in relationship.
Right. It's a way to stay connected.
I
have a patient who is not securely attached, did not come from that in his childhood, and refuses to tell his wife when he'll be home for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I don't know when I'll be home for dinner. You know, I can't possibly know. And I'm like, well, can you make an appointment with a client and be there on time? And the answer, of course, is yes. I can always do that. But somehow or another, I can't say, you know, when I'll be home for dinner. And it's just like, you know, how do you run a family like that if you, and it doesn't mean I will be home at 6, but it's like, hey, this is my best guess. It's, you know, I'm running late. It looks like 7.
Yeah.
And then if, you know, you're 15 minutes out at 6:45 and you know you're not going to be there till 7:30, you give a holler. You know, text and say, I'm later than I expected. It doesn't have to be rigid.
Yeah.
It's just like what you described. It's, you know, it's a way to check in and keep each other posted, connected without being suffocated.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, another way I see this play out, Lori, is in expressions of hurt, right? Securely attached people are not afraid of other people's hurts.
Yeah.
Right? Securely attached people don't get defensive when their partner expresses that hurt, and their hurt gets to be their hurt. Even if it's about me.
You hurt me.
Yeah.
Right?
If I hurt you.
Right.
Right. I can tolerate the fact that that you were hurt by that, even sometimes if I don't agree, right? Or if I don't understand.
Right. Or if I don't think I did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or if only you knew my side of it, you wouldn't feel hurt.
That's
it's like,
right.
We wait and let the person, our partner, tell us what hurt them.
Yeah. And I think that the secure attachment just aids in the ability to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to defend. We don't have to exert a control or power over the other person. We get to be equal in a relationship, 100-100. And if your hurt is your hurt, my hurt is my hurt, and we work together to figure out how to make that better.
Yeah, I also think that in secure attachment, we've said this before, but when your partner makes a bid for your attention, you know, says, "Hey, you know, let me show you what I got the kids for Christmas." you know, you put the paper down or the computer down and mm-hmm. say, oh, let's go look. I'd love to see what you got the kids for Christmas.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
Or maybe your partner says, hey, what do you want for Christmas? And you don't just go, whatever. You know, you think about it and you respond in kind, right, in terms of participating in the conversation and the interest of the moment.
Lori, I'm so bad at that. Christmas presents. My wife was telling me, trying to talk to me about what Christmas
True
presents.
True Confessions at Christmas by Adam Matthews.
Oh my
Matthews.
Goodness! What I thought would be good Christmas presents for the girls. I think I failed in that bid. My goodness, yeah.
As long as you show interest, it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't. You don't have to have answers, right? It's you have to be tuned into the conversation.
Yeah. Well, and she and bless her because she's so secure. Like she had mm-hmm. such good secure attachments, so
That's
she
great.
more so than me. So one of the things she said to me was, "You're not interested in this at all, are you?" And I was going to say, "No," and she was okay with that. I mean, I think that's like she really modeled for me some secure attachment there because she was just like it didn't affect her and it didn't blow up into some huge thing,
right?
You know, that I failed at that.
And I think, you know, one of the things at the holidays that marks a securely attached family is celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Like they take time out to be together, to offer each other gifts, to spend time together and meals together. And it's a joyful coming together. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, for many people, that's one of their happiest childhood memories is when everybody was happy. The relatives came over and it was good. You know, I mean, that's kind of a marker in terms of does your family take the time out to celebrate and set aside holiday time or birthday time or something that really marks them as special.
What you're talking about,
family.
What you're talking about to me is tradition. Like that's one of the reasons Christmas is so valuable for so many people is because there's traditions that create safety and create routine and create at least once a year, I get to go back to this safe place that is so familiar, that is so comfortable, where I can completely be myself. Eat the same food. Yes, don't try to change up my Christmas food. I don't want any of your fancy chutneys or spreads, or I don't want anything flambéed. Fancy. Just give me the classics. Yeah, I mean, we want it. That's the reason that's such a draw to us.
I think so too. Absolutely. You're speaking my language. And I compare that to the families, the insecure attachment, right? Maybe the alcoholic mom who doesn't put together a meal and doesn't gather the family and isn't capable, or the father who, you know, maybe the divorced father who doesn't even call the kids on Christmas, forgets to send the birthday gifts, forgets to mark their children as special, and the children are just left bereft, right?
I mean, or
the family where, you know, Uncle Sam is drunk and, you know, mom and dad have a big fight. And I mean, it doesn't even have to be drastic.
You can't trust
anything.
To create
insecure attachment, right? Yeah. You can't trust in an insecure attachment.
Yeah. And I think we should say too, like, we're not promoting any specific traditions
or any
specific way of doing the holiday season, but that when you have something that is very safe and reliable and routine, it's a great way to start to create.
Right.
We're
talking about emotional connection
That's
and
right.
practical ways to enforce that.
So, Lori, when you think about that there's going to be hundreds of people venturing to some places that are probably not safe for them, insecure.
Yes.
Like, and they're going with their partner. Like, what do you think are some things that partners can do for each other to help create that secure attachment and promote
right.
secure attachment while they're there with their families over the holidays?
So my favorite suggestion is tell your family that you need a shopping day and go off with your partner alone.
Yes,
maybe leave the children with the grandparents if you trust that. And go off and just spend time together, debrief the family chaos. Maybe rent a hotel room seriously and have sex, because for many people it's hard to be sexual in their parents' home or in their in-laws' home. And so, you know, here's this rest, this joyful time. A lot of us, you know, take time off work and we're thinking vacation time, and vacation time means sex time.
Yeah.
And then there's no sex.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so I mean, definitely take one day or a half day apart to be together.
Well, and talking about sex is a great way to remind each other that you're securely attached.
Yes.
Right?
That you're
together in that you have a secure attachment. Mm-hmm. It's a great, I mean,
it's the most profound, I think, physical expression. But I would also say, you know, take a lot of time to be affectionate with your partner. I mean, it can be stressful at the holidays. So mini back rubs and, you know, hair ruffling and hugs and looking at each other in the eyes and saying, I love you, especially if they're going home and, you know, their parents are not so great to them or their siblings tease them.
Oh, all right.
You know, take time to affirm your partner.
And I would say, too, you know, take that along that goes along with that is to listen to the ways their family is hurting them during that time or not safe, but don't try to solve the problem, right?
I agree. Family systems are too complicated to solve on the holidays.
Yeah, don't try to solve your partner's family drama, but take a walk, suggest a walk, listen to all the ways that the frustration has come out to blow off steam and get it out. I think that just that is just a reminder that your relationship is a secure place that you can do that you can vent and be heard and be validated.
Absolutely. Well, we wish you all happy holidays. We're so grateful for you listening to us, and we hope that we become a gift of attachment to you, learning about security here. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Hey, help us stay on top here at 4Play. We'd love it if you would subscribe and share it with your friends. And please take 1 sec and rate and review us. Thanks so much.